So now there'll be a period of walking meditation, and walking meditation was very popular with the monks in the time of the Buddha, and all the Sariputta and all his disciples would walk up and down in one group, and Venerable Mahamoggallana and his group. And in the Thai forest tradition, walking has been very much emphasized by a number of the great teachers, disciples of Lumbumman, probably the most prominent of which was Lumbukao. And Lumbukao, he had three walking paths, one for the morning, one for the afternoon, one for night, and he'd walk 2 hours on each one. And he'd also go on arms round, and he'd also sweep leaves every day. So very active kind of practice. And it's quite common for monks in the forest tradition to make walking their primary practice. And for many people these days, like walking is, sitting is the practice, and walking is just kind of to stretch your legs in between periods of sitting. Indeed, in certain traditions, they don't practice walking meditation at all. But in this tradition, in our tradition, we're trying to develop a fluency of practice, a continuity of practice, which is not tied to any particular posture. And the danger, if you have just one meditation posture, sitting, for example, then you find it very difficult to carry over the lessons of that into daily life, and you tend to get quite a distinct chasm between the quality of mindfulness when you're sitting with your eyes closed and then the rest of your life. So the walking meditation in the forest tradition is also one in which we walk at a more or less normal pace, again because of the benefits of being able to translate that and to just carry that on into your daily life. And the mindfulness practice, the meditation practice in walking, is different primarily because of movement as opposed to stillness of the body, but also with the eyes open, then we are receiving a lot more information from the world around us, particularly from the eyes and the ears. And so it's more of a challenge to still the mind. But if once the mind has been tamed and has have facility and an ability in the walking meditation practice, then it gives you a great sense of adaptability, and you can develop the practice. You can be mindful walking from a car to a building, up and down stairs, or go for a walk in the park, or just pace up and down in your house. And so it's very kind of natural, and the gap between like so-called meditation, which people make like a big thing with a capital M, and daily life is a lot more blurred, and it's much more easily applied, I think. So for lay Buddhists, I think that walking meditation is particularly useful as a practice. And for many meditators, if you have physical problems and illnesses and so on, or just as you're getting older, body getting more stiff, to be able to sit for longer periods, you know, more than an hour or so is quite difficult. But if you're in reasonably good health, you can, without too much difficulty, work up to a two-hour walking meditation or even a three-hour walking meditation practice period, if you have that kind of time. So walking has its own specific characteristics and values, and complements the sitting. So we're developing mindfulness in stillness and mindfulness in movement. It can be a good replacement or alternative to sitting if illness or simply because you're very, very tired and you know that if you sit, you're probably going to fall asleep, and sitting is a good, walking is a good alternative. After a meal, walking is better than sitting, usually. And it's good exercise as well. It's good for you physically. It's enjoyable. You may take some time to learn how to really enjoy sitting, but I think anybody out in nature, walking up and down under trees in the shade and the breeze, it's just such a pleasant way to live your life as a human being, apart from anything else. So techniques, again, when we're walking alone, as back home, or whenever you can choose how to practice, we just take make a path of between 20 to 30 paces long, and the length of the path will depend somewhat on how fast you like to walk. Some people like to walk quite fast, and then you have a slightly longer path. If you like to walk slightly slower, then a shorter path. But you don't want such a short path that you're constantly turning and turning and turning, and that's disturbing to the mind. But if it's too long, then it's easy to get distracted. So 20 to 30 paces, usually good. And if you have something to indicate the halfway point on the path, just some kind of marker. So then if for example, you're walking, say, 24 paces, then the marker would be at 12 paces. And so you're having a marker just to remind yourself every 12 paces, which is just a very short time. So if your mind does wander, then at the beginning of the path, the middle of the path, the end of the path, it's just a time just to check whether you're still with your meditation object. So if you do wander off, you're not wandering off mentally, rather than wandering off the path physically. If you're not wandering off the path mentally, hopefully not for very long. I would recommend to begin with, in the same way that I've been recommending beginning the sitting practice, using those four areas of the body and just being aware of the, rather than the breath, being aware of the walking posture, being aware of the body, the whole body walking, going through the four areas: head, face, neck, shoulders, arms, hands, fingers, torso, lower body. And using the sensations of the feet as they touch the ground, as a kind of metronome, just within which you are aware of the sensations within the body, area by area, and then the whole body awareness. So the zooming out, and then you can zoom in to the sensation of the feet as they touch the ground. Again, when you zoom in, you can use this buddho or any other two-syllable meditation word or parikamma, so put to. So these are, it's not the word itself, but it's a way of just bringing the mind to that sensation again and again. So you're learning this power of vitakka, of directing attention and sustaining attention, and thereby creating mindfulness. As we're walking in a big group, then rather than walking up and down, be aware of the people in front of you and behind you, and just not walking at your own pace, but adapt the pace to the person in front of you, leaving a sufficient kind of COVID length in front of you, and don't allow these kind of traffic jams to build up as they do sometimes. So keeping aware of that. And I mentioned just now, walking up and down, you have like the beginning, the middle, and the end as markers and ways of just reminding yourself and bringing your mind back to the object if you get distracted. We're walking in this circle on the grassy area roundabout outside the house, and there are trees planted all the way around the path, so you can use those trees as markers to bring your mind back. So walking from tree number one to tree number two, and then tree number two to tree number three, for example. If you find like once you get onto the walking path, it's like your mind's sort of exploding with thoughts, and it can happen. There's a little like intense agitation when moving from sitting to walking sometimes, especially if you've been pushing in the sitting too much. In the first circuit, if you have memorized any of the chants, the Pali chants, then just chanting, going through the Itibiso chant, for example, again and again. So rather than just one simple word, puto, it's like the whole Itibiso Bhagawa, and that's just a little bit more relaxed, but it's keeping you focused in a little bit more looser way. And not to do that for the whole of the, not recommending to do that for the whole of the session, but just as a way just to settle into the practice at the beginning, if the mind is very active and there's a lot going on at the beginning, a mentally chanting something like Itibiso over and over again can be helpful. So let's go down and...